This is Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. I'm the director of Big River Paranormal, the Oregon team for the Atlantic Paranormal Society. I've been obsessed with the paranormal since having unexplained experiences as a child. These experiences left me with more questions than answers. Join me as we explore all things paranormal with some of the top specialists and experts in the paranormal community. Welcome and thank you for listening to Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. Today's guest is Doug Devaney, the new director of the Lewis County Museum in Chehalis, Washington. How are you doing today, Doug?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me and tolerating my live appearance from the Southwest Washington Fair.
Yeah. How's that going today?
It's going very well. It's been pretty popular in my building because it's nice and air-conditioned. There's a lot of fun things to see here. So.
Yeah,
we're having a good day.
Where is that located at? Puyallup?
The Southwest Washington Fair comes to you from Chehalis, Centralia. Okay. We have a big fairgrounds here near the Yardbirds, which a lot of people are familiar with.
Okay, yeah. So how long have you been the Lewis County Museum Director?
Honestly, 2 months next Tuesday, so not very long.
So as director, what exactly is your role there?
Yeah, the director role is interesting because it's kind of in the middle of a lot of different aspects of the museum. Some people might think it's to be the curator, to fill the place full of exhibits, but first and foremost is keeping the lights on, keeping the doors open. So I'm not responsible for doing everything related to the museum, but I am responsible for making sure it all gets done, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like a project manager, but right now it's just me. I'm kind of a one-man show, but I'm recruiting some part-time employees and a lot of volunteers, so things are going pretty well so far.
So what were you doing before?
Yeah, my career has been in corporate training. I actually used to work for Waste Management, the big green and gold trash company.
Yeah.
So adult education principles are something that I mastered with them over the last, I will say, 7 years. But I've just had a lot of time to think about how to reach people, how to make magical moments, and to help people learn no matter what the background. So that's what I've been doing for the last several years. I actually drove a garbage truck for them for a long time.
Oh, nice.
Right after getting my master's degree, of all things. So got my MBA, drove a garbage truck for about 3 years for Waste Management, and then became a trainer for them for about 7 years. So
nice.
Yeah.
So how did you become the director there? It just kind of, is it something you were interested in before? Or just it was opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. I just moved back to Washington. I am a Washington native, born and raised in Chehalis. But I did my tour of duty in big cities for the last 22 years, but just got tired of not really having community. And so I moved back to Chehalis. And when I got back, a lot of my family, friends, and associates are associated with the museum itself. Okay. And so I had kind of I had a friend tell me that the museum was closed and that they were looking for a new director. And I just took it like this is something I could help them do, reopen this museum because it's so sad to see it close.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, with that MBA, and I worked at the Pacific Science Center when I was first out of college. So it's not my first time in a museum, but I just felt like I was in a unique position to help. Yeah. But as soon as I got on the job as interim director, I just fell in love with the place and really started bonding with the building, the artifacts, And the community has been so supportive so far. My third day on the job, I was on the front page of the local newspaper because I had told them, "Oh, we're reopening the museum." So they came by, took my picture, and all that. But it was just so funny to be 3 days into it, and all of a sudden I'm Chehalis famous.
No pressure there, right?
None whatsoever.
So, as the director of the museum, have you had any experiences with the reported ghosts at the museum?
Okay, so I have to tell you, I'm so excited to be on this show. For one, I love promoting the museum. For two, I am an avid fan of things paranormal, UFO, all of the
Awesome.
cryptids, all of it, because I believe in a lot of different things being possible. Reason being, if you believe in whatever God, that's just as likely as all the stuff we're talking about with ghosts, right? But no one has
Exactly.
proof of all, like proof, like
Yeah.
we have some. But okay, so I'm very excited to be here, but I'm gonna bring it back. My third day on the job, it was a Saturday. I started on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So the Chronicle actually came out the next day, Tuesday. But that Saturday, I had three separate paranormal experiences on the same day, and it
Wow.
was the same thing each time. And I just kind of took it as this is the ghost kind of welcoming me because it is a certified paranormal site. And I knew about the ghosts coming into this, but I actually sing to them every single morning when I get there, just to make sure everyone's in a good mood and we all get off on the right foot. They don't mess with my electronics or anything. But here's what happened to me. Okay, so I'm in the back office, and I have a security camera that points at the front door, and it has audio. I'm sitting at my desk, and I hear somebody talking in the main salon of my museum. Like, I can't understand the words, and I was too scared to get up and go closer to the camera, but I could clearly hear someone talking for like 30 to 40 seconds. And when that noise stopped, I heard the very distinct sound of footsteps coming from that area closer to my office. And when the footsteps start, I'm not kidding you at all, it's not made up. I heard what sounded like fingernails tapping on glass like three times. And so I told you this happened three separate times that day. The third time it happened, like it got closer and closer each time. The third time it happened, I heard that tapping sound, like fingernails tapping on glass in the door, in my office, 10 feet away from me, right in front of me. Heard it clear as day, like, and then I just said to myself, it's rats. It's rats.
Yeah,
I
of
mean,
course.
obviously there's not a rat on that door, but that has to be
Yeah.
the end. So yeah, I believe that the story is real about that place, and I've heard a lot of other firsthand stories from people who've had experiences there.
It's definitely an interesting building. My team, Big River Paranormal, we've been out there two or three times, and each time we've gotten a little bit of evidence, nothing super significant, but we have had like we had a teammate, Autumn Rose. She actually just passed away the last month, but
Sorry to hear that.
she was with us there, and she was going into the smoking room,
Oh yeah.
and she says, "Can I come in the smoking room?" And there's a male voice that clearly told her no. So
Oh boy.
we kind of think that's funny because she went in anyway because you don't hear
Yeah.
the EVP right then. But like
You're right. That's awesome. I
and then
love that.
we have gotten quite a bit of like children laughter and maybe
Oh yeah.
like a scream and children laughter, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's every
Nice.
time we've been there, it's been pretty cool. I know some of that could still be on our website. I haven't looked. We have a new website, so I don't know what got added.
Yeah, what is that website? Could you tell me so I can look it up?
It's bigriverparanormal.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a great building to investigate.
Yeah.
Is part of what you'd like to do with the museum is market maybe some of the paranormal stuff that goes on there, or is that kind of
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I don't want this to be a business negotiation live on the air necessarily, but this October, I am looking to have paranormal groups come do scheduled events and sell tickets for those.
Cool.
I want to set the precedent for us to do these monthly, if not weekly, on the weekends, because it's still haunted in the winter. You know, so I think this is something that I'd like to see continue year round because it is one of those places, those rare places where real things happen. I
For
truly
sure,
believe that, and I'm there every day. So,
we could definitely, we'll definitely have to do some talking off the air for sure.
sure.
We could definitely work something out. So, what are your like as far as when you're at the when you're there by yourself, does it scare you, or you just kind of gotten used to it now?
When I first started coming there, it really was kind of creepy because it's just this gigantic long corridor, right? So when you first get there, none of the lights are on, and you turn the lights on by walking halfway down the building and flipping all the breakers. And the room where the breakers are is one of the like reported haunted rooms where people have seen entities. And there's a huge steel sewer like manhole cover in that room that leads underground somewhere. So like, yeah, at first it was a little creepy to go in there, but that's when I started the singing thing. So every morning I sing some sort of show tune to them. My thinking is that they all became ghosts before any of these songs are written. So the ghosts are going to think I'm some genius musician. But it seems to have made things smooth for me in the process. But
Would you consider
yeah,
yourself a good singer?
I do. Yeah,
Okay.
I am a good singer.
Well, at least that's good.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them through that if it wasn't totally necessary.
Well, at least, to them, if you're singing and you're happy, you appear to be kind and not harmful.
Yeah.
So
Well, I
maybe that's.
believe in energies and that we all are composed of some kind of energy. And I think if I can make my energy vibrate in a way that's pleasing to them, then they'll see that I'm here to keep their home nice and not any sort of threat. And I'm trying to make it, easy for all of us to exist there.
As a paranormal investigator, I always wonder like what keeps spirits at a location, or are they there all the time, or are they just visiting, or
Yeah.
just kind of a weird topic to discuss it.
I have theories if you'd like to hear any of them about
Of
this
course.
particular museum.
Yes, I
Well, not some
definitely
are theories, but
want
some of it I think is mixed with facts. So
to.
the place itself, right? The train station, the nature of the train station, traveling. It's a place that still looks like it did back in 1912, right? So if you were a spirit wandering around, this is a place where you would want to try and find and catch the train out of that nightmare. The other part of it is that we have many objects that themselves likely carry some kind of attachment. As a for instance, we've got a wicker coffin there that's on display in the front room. The wicker coffin was used before the invention of the body bag to remove, folks from an accident scene. And so, gosh, the stories that thing could tell, right? Helping those souls pass on to what's next. So, yeah, I think it's that combination of the historic site and the creepy attachments to creepy objects.
So for those who have been there before, can you talk about what kinds of things outside of the paranormal they might see when they come?
Absolutely. The big attraction, as far as I see it, is the epic model railroad that we have. The folks in that model train club are stellar. They're great people. They do amazing work, and there's tens of thousands of hours into that. I am looking to have them expand on it in the year to come, so hopefully we'll get even more model railroad in there. So that's probably my favorite. I am looking to work with the local native tribes as well to get some more stuff in there to tell that part of our story here in Lewis County.
Excellent.
But I do love that room we have as well. Talking about those folks, definitely a necessary part of the Lewis County story.
For sure.
But those two are my favorite, I would say.
I may have some connections there for you too when we get
Oh,
off the
wonderful.
line.
Yeah.
So yeah, you said the do you have a the train and then the Native American is your favorite exhibit there?
Yeah, the epic model railroad, again, because there's buttons you can push. So,
Yeah, I saw
the
that.
child in me, the ADHD, I just love walking through and pushing the buttons every time I go through. And just something about the miniature and the detail, it's really kind of captivates you.
I like the iron lung thing they have there.
Yeah, that's an odd one. You don't see those all the time.
I saw that. I was like, you like, and you think about what life must have been like, in
oh
one
my
of those
gosh.
places? Like, what if there is even, like, would you want to live that way? I mean, I don't think I would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge commitment to a lifestyle change at that point. I hope I never have to go through that, but I'm sure a lot of great people were glad they had the extra time.
Yeah, for sure. What changes would you like to see at the as director of the museum?
Yeah, so the big thing that I hear a lot of folks say is that the museum doesn't feel like it's changed much over the years. And I tend to agree that we have had some nostalgic attachment to some of the things that have been there a real long time. So first thing I'm going to do is start moving stuff around. I want that place to tell a story. Like if you show up to our museum looking to learn more about Lewis County, if you want to get a timeline even of what kind of has happened in the county, you're not really getting that in one cohesive story right now. It's a series of moments and you kind of have to find them. But I wanted to tell that story so that you can walk in there and without anyone explaining a word to you about anything, it's just logical. Where do we start? Where did we come from? How did we get where we are now? I want all of that kind of presented in that main room and then everything just expanded on as you go through. And then you'll like this, the very back part where the iron lung is, I'm going to turn that whole section into, I haven't decided on a name yet. In my head, the workshop is Lewis County Oddities, but sort of the creepier things in the collection. And instead of the fluorescent lights, I'm going to light it much creepier within each of those areas instead of the fluorescent from above. So I'm definitely looking forward to adding those Lewis County Oddities. And just helping it tell a story throughout.
So is there going to be people, like, when you come there, that will, like, do, like, a guided tour, or is it just a self-guided tour?
That's the goal. I am going to try to get some QR codes and things of that nature to explain the different rooms. Perhaps we could have experts record videos associated with that. We're going to lean into technology wherever we can. And we
That'd be
have a
cool.
bunch of TVs around there too. But yeah, because right now it's just me, the one man show. I love talking to people about the museum and what's in it. But as director, I really shouldn't be spending all my time doing that because there are a lot of things that need my attention. So we are actively recruiting for volunteers. If anyone hears this and wants to volunteer at the haunted Lewis County Museum, please contact me at director@lewiscountymuseum.org.
There you go. You just can't be afraid of the dark or ghosts, apparently.
No, good singing voices are helpful.
Yeah, that would be funny if you got somebody in there singing terribly and they were like, shut up, we're exploding.
Yeah, books start flying off the shelf. Uh-oh.
It could happen. You know what I found creepy was the mannequin as well. I've heard rumors
Oh,
that he
yeah.
moves.
So, Clarence, I think you're talking about the guy at the Morse code desk, right? Yeah, so I've put this to the test, and here's what I can tell you. I moved him in a way to where his hand was directly resting on the little plunger for the Morse code thing, and I have observed over time that he will shift away from that. But this is my theory. Giant trains drive by my museum all the time,
Yeah, they
and I
do.
think it vibrates the ground in the building just enough to unsettle some objects and cause them to shift over time. So I'm going to debunk that he moves a lot. I have not observed a significant movement that couldn't be explained away by the train, but I have heard that Clarence is one of our haunted things in there.
You're gonna get there tomorrow. He's gonna be standing up now that you said
He, man,
that.
I shouldn't say this because somebody's going to come by the museum one day
Standing
and without
up.
me seeing it, just move him across the room. And I'm like, dang.
Well, good thing you have
Clarence is
cameras
haunted.
with So it wasn't long ago that we all learned the flying saucer party had ended, and then now we
Yeah.
learned that it is not. So what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the juicy stuff, right? This is where we get into the tea. Okay, so I'm going to try and say this the best way that I can. I have been on the job, like I said, almost 2 months. The number one complaint or sore point that anyone has with the museum is that the Flying Saucer Party was canceled. Okay, so I've heard about it a lot. I'm new to town. You know, I
It's a
used to
great
live here,
event.
but I just got back. So I've never been to one. And I want everyone to know that going in, that this is, I'm planning and throwing a party that I've never been to. But I've got good help. I've got a lot of folks around me, including one of the Chronicle reporters who's like essentially an archivist for this party. So I've got the right people around me to pull this off. But the reason we're doing it is we already had the space rented, and couldn't get out of our contract there. So rather than eat that money, I said, let's go. Let's just do it. And number two, the community really wants it. This would be the first year it didn't happen since it started. And I didn't want there to be that gap. This is something I personally want to see continue to happen here,
For sure.
for the rest of my life. And hopefully beyond, because it is a really cool piece of our local history here, that flight of Kenneth Arnold. And as a believer myself, and I do have a UFO story, I know that part's coming up, but I really think that this is something that puts us on the map. You know, the very term flying saucer originates from that event, which originates in Chehalis, Washington. And so I think it's an important thing to do, and I want to show the community that we did not give up on it. Some things happen. There was a transition from the last person to me. And when I think about this year's party, here's how I think about it. It's like Flying Saucer Party Light. So we're gonna have most of the same fun, but I don't know if we'll get to do the parade. I've got Chanel Arnold, granddaughter of Kenneth Arnold, coming. I've got other speakers lined up, but we're gonna do it. It's gonna be fun, but I'm looking for help. I'm looking for vendors. I'd love for the community, whoever wants to be a part of this, to come forward and be a part of it. I am offering whatever I can. I've got the museum, I've got the loft rental space. So I've got two venues for this, and I am more than happy to share this load with anyone in the community. And people so far have responded very well, but it is a little last minute. We're throwing it all together. I think it's still going to be a great time, but I will tell you this also, we are already planning for next year, 2027. To exceed the former glory of this party with enough time to properly plan it.
There you
But
go.
we just didn't want to leave everyone hanging this year. We're going to throw that party and we'd love everyone to come and be a part of it however they'd like.
And when is that going to be?
So September 11th and 12th, there will be events in downtown Chehalis. September 12th is kind of the main day. That's Saturday. So that's when the museum and all the things that I'm doing will be in factor, but other businesses in the area will be participating that Friday night. So I'd recommend, you know, coming to town Friday night, staying overnight, and then hitting the party hard on Saturday. We will have live music, we will have speakers, all that. So Flying Saucer Party Light, still an awesome time. Just kind of my first year doing it, so hoping a lot of people will come and make it a lot of fun.
What I liked about the event is a lot, most people showed up in their favorite alien costume, so
Yeah, that is highly encouraged, 100%. You know, the men in black costumes, the alien costumes, whatever your favorite flying saucer related cosplay is, please wear it, bring it, do it. And I know McFeilers does have some sort of costume contest that they do, so definitely worth getting all dressed up.
And are you going to dress up?
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about it that much. I have this sort of dress code of shorts and a black t-shirt that I wear almost every day. Because I'm just not in my flair era right now. But I think I will find a way to be clever and dress up for sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what are the other speakers that people can come see?
I have reached out and I'm working on finalizing some of these things, but Kathleen Wire, you might know, she runs the Washington MUFON, that's what it is, the Washington MUFON. And she said she has a lot of other folks who she knows that would be willing to speak. And so I'm kind of still looking for folks who'd like to do it. I feel as though we have a pretty solid speaker lineup developing. And with the live music and other things that'll be going on, definitely worth coming. More to come on that. Follow
I may
us
have
on
some ideas for
Facebook and
you.
all that. Yeah, thank
May have
you.
some ideas for
I will
you.
take it.
And as far as vendor applications, if somebody, if what kind of vendors are you looking for?
Yeah, I would really say it's pretty open at this point. I have a ton of space. I would love to see anyone with flying saucer related items, any sort of crafts that people make. It doesn't have to be strict to flying saucer or alien type of things. I want it to be just a big place where you can find all kinds of custom crafts, foods, etc. Whatever it was in the past, I just want it to be a little bit better each year.
And what does it cost for a vendor table at the event this year?
It's $60 for a vendor table.
Okay, that's
The
cool.
information for that is on our Facebook. I can send you the poster with the QR code and the link and all that if you'd like. But yeah, Flying Saucer Party, facebook.com/flying saucer party. You can find the vendor application to download with the instructions there.
And is the Flying Saucer Party going to be a ticketed event, or is there going to be like speakers you have to pay for?
Yeah, gosh, I'm kind of on the fence about this one.
Okay.
And I know that in the past there's been VIP and all that, but
Yeah.
I'll tell you how I'm leaning right now, which is low cost or no cost.
Yeah.
Because there was sort of this element of it being canceled, right? And it's not
Yeah.
going to be the full Flying Saucer Party. It's going to be light, but not very light, just a little light. I'm kind of thinking it'd be cool to just make it free. So that
Maybe.
we can gather, build that trust back up, right? Come on
Yeah.
down, it's free. I'll check what the fire code is for our speakers in that area,
Yeah.
but I'd really like just a lot of people to come down and support the local businesses and vendors and to spread the word about
Yeah.
what all these great speakers have to say. I just want more people to get involved and know about it and celebrate it.
Can you talk about the significance of the Flying Saucer Party, how it got started originally, and the reason Chehalis hosts the event? I know you touched on it briefly, but can you tell the
Yeah.
story?
So this is the story, right? Kenneth Arnold, he was a pilot and he was in Chehalis with his plane. He was ready to fly off to Oregon, but he needed to refuel in Yakima to get there. So this is back in the 40s, I believe. I'm standing right in front of my own display on it. But oh yeah, June 24th, 1947. There it is. Private pilot and businessman Kenneth Arnold flew out of the Chehalis Airport. And so what happened when he took off from here? He flew up towards Mount Rainier, Mount Adams, and he observed nine spacecraft, which he went on to describe after he landed as nine flying saucers. He said they were flying in formation up very high near the volcanoes in between them. And so he refueled in Yakima. And then, as I hear the story, he flew to Oregon. And there were many reporters waiting for him there, wanting to talk to him about what had happened. And so this is where we got the term flying saucer. And it was around the same time that all the Area 51 stuff was happening.
Yeah.
So he's kind of one of the fathers of the modern UFO era.
That's cool.
Yeah,
A
right
lot of
here in
people don't realize
Chehalis.
it. Yeah, people don't realize that the term flying saucer started right here in Washington
Yeah,
State, and
that's cool.
it is pretty cool.
Worth celebrating, yeah.
I know last year, if I remember right, Vince went on coast to coast, and they did like a debate with the people from Roswell on who, was the original alien capital,
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know if Vince is involved this year or not, but
Yeah,
yeah.
he's not involved this year. So I do want you and your listeners to know that the founders of this party, I've been in contact with them in one form or another.
Yeah.
They have helped me where they could, but I think they're kind of going to take a break because of all the it's just been
Yeah.
a chaotic year. So they're happy to just, take a step back this year and let me do FSP Lite. But I have offered in one form or another to involve them in the future.
Yeah.
So just know that if you are someone who is a fan of the original founders and the work they've done, I know I am, that the offer is there. I don't want to try and make this something, it's not reinvent the wheel. I'm willing to work with a lot of folks, anyone who's passionate about this, but especially those guys. And I know them, I talk to them, they know how to find me. So hoping next year, yeah, we can get them back. But especially the film festival, that's one thing that'll be missing this year.
Yeah, that's always a good time.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. Okay, so we talked earlier about your beliefs with the ghosts and stuff there, but what is your personal beliefs on aliens and UFOs, that kind of thing?
Oh, well, for sure, 100% certain that they exist. And I mean, literally just the numbers, right? The expanse of the universe is far too great. If you think the Earth is the only place where life exists in a universe this big, you're dumb.
Yeah, it'd be
You're not
really weird
dumb.
if
I
it
take that
was.
back. So edit that. You're not dumb, but like, you just haven't looked at the numbers, right? The numbers alone would say that, yeah, it's pretty likely that another planet somewhere out there got in that Goldilocks zone of their solar system and made it happen.
It would be really weird if it didn't, yeah.
And I think it's really vain of us to think that that's the case.
Yeah.
But I also have a flying saucer story of my own from a long time ago when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Can I tell that real quick?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I was at Lake Chelan with my family, and Lake Chelan's kind of an interesting one in general because it's one of those really, really deep lakes.
Yeah.
So you know, if a flying saucer wanted to hide in it, absolutely could. But I was at this hotel on the deck, kind of looking out over the lake, and there was this one star. My friend was there too. It was me and my friend. We were like 12 years old. There was
Yeah.
this one star that was really bright, and it was just above the horizon. And we were out there talking for like 45 minutes, and we noticed that all the stars in the sky had shifted. But that one really bright light off in the distance, just above the mountain, had not moved at all. And we were talking about it. We were saying, "Hey, why hasn't that moved?" And literally, as soon as we were talking about it, it just dropped right behind that mountain. It didn't turn off. The light stayed on, and it dropped behind the mountain. And this mountain's probably 16, 20 miles away from us.
Yeah.
So the amount of speed it would have to instantly drop from where it was sitting to behind that mountain is not anything that's possible in our arsenal of technology. So that was my moment where I was like, I'm pretty sure that was a UFO. There's nothing else that makes sense that could even be.
Yeah.
So that's mine.
I always wonder what stories like that if it's some government technology we don't know about yet, or yeah, from the
Right? Could
from
be. I
military,
think
you
that's why they
don't
call them unidentified.
know. Yeah, I mean, they're starting to tell us a little here and there, but it's mostly just distraction stuff to keep us looking
Yeah. It
elsewhere.
honestly seems way more likely that it is just aliens and no one seems to care, but I do, and a lot of people do.
I mean, as long as they're not trying to take us out, I'm all good for it. But
Yeah, agreed.
maybe they maybe I've often wondered if they, because it's clear that they're watching us.
Yeah.
What are they watching for exactly? And
Yeah.
especially when you hear the stories about them like going over like our nuclear war bases and shutting off the missiles just to show them like, hey, look what we can do.
Right.
There's a lot of stories like that
That's the
anyway.
mystery. And I think a lot of folks want to get to the end of that rainbow, but I'm not sure I do. I'd love to see them and have the proof, see some craft actually show up and do something tangible that the whole world could agree happened.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't know how much of the story I really want.
Well, and also what happens with that is it starts to play with, people's religious beliefs and that kind of thing.
Oh,
So,
for sure. Yeah,
yeah,
the imbalance and
if
chaos we can get
the,
there.
I mean, if the aliens come and say, hey, we created you in a test lab, there is no God, people are really
Yeah.
going to freak out in this world, like.
Well, and I heard there's, a much better than zero chance that we're all in the Matrix too, right? I mean, who's to say we're not some heat farm for a bunch of aliens? I really
Yeah.
don't know. Can't prove otherwise.
I mean, if somebody eventually is going to push the dump button on this experiment, then we'll find out.
Yeah, what's that book, Douglas Adams, right? The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
When they come to demolish Earth.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories is the Travis Walton story. I've always wanted
Well,
to interview him. Travis Walton is the guy who, Fire in the Sky, they did the movie about him where he
oh
was
yeah,
abducted. Yeah.
that one's terrifying.
Yeah, definitely. I saw that when I was a kid and I had my own experience as a child as well. So I've always kind of I would love to get him on his interview. I know he does speaking engagements, maybe he
Oh
can
wow.
for another year
Yeah,
then,
put the
but
call out. If you're out there, sir, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, and come on the show and talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of people to, you know, in the alien community to have come speak and be part of the show. And are you going to keep it pretty much alien themed or speakers?
Yeah. So, you know, I really gave a lot of thought to this. Like, what exactly is the Flying Saucer Party? And because of the Kenneth Arnold story, it really, to me, is about flying saucer culture.
Yeah.
I love having things that are adjacent. I love cryptids. I love the Bigfoot people. You know, I love all this stuff. But this party, it's about flying saucers, right? It's about that event. It's about those people. And so I feel like we're going to stay in our lane on this one and not try to absorb too many other ideologies into that.
Yeah.
But that's our plan for now. We'll see.
Well, you might be able to work on some of the, like a lot of people believe that Bigfoot may be an alien as well. So,
you know, that's a good point. I mean, how could we prove otherwise at this point? I'm willing to entertain all of that stuff.
It's funny because I've interviewed all sorts of Bigfoot people as well. And like in that community, there are some people that like aren't sure, but for the most part, they're either deeply on one side or the other. It's kind of funny. So like Cliff from Finding Bigfoot. And when I interviewed him, he doesn't even want to entertain the idea that Bigfoot could be anything other than an ape-like creature walking around the Pacific Northwest woods, you know, like that.
Yeah.
You know, he won't even entertain it being paranormal at all. And a lot of Bigfoot people are that way, but then there's some, you know, is Bigfoot a paranormal being or is a spiritual being? And, you know, like there's Native American stories that, you know, being spiritual being and that kind of stuff. And
You know, I love all those theories and, you know, skinwalkers is one of my favorite topics, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And I understand all those perspectives of people who feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just personally, I don't have the proof in my hand to say that, you know, 65 million years ago, a Bigfoot was not planted here.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I agree that your story checks out. It seems like that's the logical answer. But like, I like proof, and I will look for proof every time in these situations.
Maybe you could do like an exhibit, like a Lewis County Bigfoot exhibit at the
museum. Yeah. There was a Chehalis Project Bigfoot caught on camera, actually. So that's something that I want to put in that back hallway, like I was saying.
That'd
Still looking for sponsors and collaborators. If anybody from the Chehalis Project or anyone else wants to come to the museum and do that with me, I would love it.
As far as the museum is involved, what does it cost to come to the museum and check it out?
Yeah, so our regular adult admission is $5, and it's $4 for seniors, military, or students. Kids 7 and under is free.
Okay.
We do also sell annual memberships that are a pretty good deal. It's a pretty unique place. So, like I said, one of the things I want to do is help it evolve and keep the exhibits rotating so that it's fresh every time you come in.
Yeah. And what days and hours is the museum open?
Tuesday through Friday are our days, or Tuesday through Friday, we are open 10 to 5. We are also open on Saturdays 10 to 4.
Okay.
Those are the summer hours. And then in the winter, it's 10 to 4 on the weekdays and 10 to 2 on Saturdays. Once we hit Labor Day, we'll kind of rein it in a little bit there and maybe focus on those paranormal tours. But yeah.
So what is your, what's your feeling on the attic?
Oh, you ambushed me there. So the attic is absolutely one of the creepier spaces in our museum. Not everyone gets to go up there, but I do take people up there sometimes. You know, the attic is where we have a lot of objects stored, things that were very personal to some people, like clothing and saddles. You know, I heard we had a saddle in there once that somebody was murdered in while sitting in it, and we had to get rid of it because that one was so problematic.
Huh.
But the attic itself, I'm not particularly creeped out up there with the lights on anymore. Cause again, I really believe my singing is working on these ghosts. I think they really like me. but no, there's, there are many creepy feelings to be had up there, and the staircase itself is rather intimidating getting up there, almost vertical.
If somebody hasn't died going up or down that yet,
Oh
somebody at least
yeah,
will, yeah.
it's a 10-foot fall if you miss a step.
It's just like it's more of a ladder than it is steps, really. It's kind
Truly, I mean,
of
yeah, it's kind of a scary little space there.
yeah.
So, I like it. I haven't spent a ton of time up there by myself yet because I got to stay relatively close to the front desk. But no, it's definitely worth coming on one of those paranormal tours to go up there when it's really hopping.
Yeah, I had a teammate. She's an older lady. She went to the bottom and went, "You know what? I think I'm good down here." So, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those spaces where that's kind of one of those payoff moments on the tour.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very cool space. And so let me ask you, if people want to find out more information about the museum and the Flying Saucer Party, where do they go to get that information?
Yes, thank you. And first of all, just want to remind everyone, I've only been on the job almost 2 months. I'm relatively new to this particular place, so please don't judge me too harshly for what you see me doing or not doing. But you can find us at lewiscountymuseum.org. You can find us on Facebook, Lewis County Historical Museum. You can also find the Flying Saucer Party there, facebook.com/flyingsaucerparty. And you can find us on Instagram, again, LCH Museum. At LCH Museum is our Instagram handle, and at Flying Saucer Party is our Flying Saucer Party handle there. So anywhere online is great. And we're in downtown Chehalis, right at the end of the historic downtown. So please come see us anytime.
So, do you know about any of the other places there in Chehalis that might be haunted?
You know, I've heard stories about a few of them. Someone just told me about a haunting yesterday in Centralia. And that story was really good. I don't, it's it was a big house on Pearl, but the story was these two female like high school girls or young women were racing each other in a foot race, and it was for a prize, you know, it was like at a track meet kind of thing. And the one girl who lost was so mad, she said, you know, if anything happens to me, I'm gonna haunt you forever. And sure enough, that girl died like not that long afterwards. And so the home where this other girl who beat her lives was reportedly haunted by that girl and still is today. I've also heard, do you know about the Princess Tree? Have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
Okay, so this is a movement I'm trying to start, and maybe you can help me figure
Absolutely.
out the lore of this because it's something that's passed down. Highway 6, if you leave Chehalis out over the bridge there, headed out towards Boisford and all that, there's a field on the right-hand side as you're traveling west on that road, right at not far after I-5. When I was young, it was just empty like wheat field, and there was this one tree standing in the middle. Out there, really old tree, just haggard looking thing. And the story was that this tree was planted at the gravesite of like, you know, the farmer's wife, or perhaps it was, you know, a Native American person that was buried there. But I always heard it was a Native American princess when I was younger. And the rumor is that this tree, if you leave anything under it, like a tractor, next day the tractor won't work, it's dead. If you sleep under it, the person will die. You're sleeping under it. And so I've always wondered about this tree. And every time I drive by it, it's just creepy. So help me, people, figure out the lore of this princess tree.
If you've heard this story and you want to reach out to either one of us, that'd be great. I definitely want to know about that, and I don't want to have to go to the tree and try sleeping there to find out if that's true myself.
Yeah, I don't think it's humane to leave like pigeons in a cage under it, but you know, perhaps we can find someone to give us permission to leave some cameras, something like
Yeah,
that.
you never know. That could be fun.
Yeah, come on up. Let's do
All right. Well, it's been really
it.
great having you on the show. I'm glad to hear that the museum is both back open and the Flying Saucer Party is a go again. I was kind of disappointed to hear that it was not. And then as soon as I found it was, I was like, I got to reach out, see what I can do to help because th this sounds awesome. So, yeah, I'm glad you got back to me and for
Yeah,
sure.
thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll I'll definitely be up there and checking out myself this year and meet you in person, and I'm sure we'll work on some things. And
yeah, let me know if you ever want me back on the show, because I had a great time talking with you and I'd love to talk more. Maybe we could update that princess tree someday.
Absolutely, that'd be great. And maybe we can make this a yearly tradition. You come on and talk about and promote the what you got going on for the party.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you for coming on.
The Columbian and Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our...
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic offers evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. Details about the Vancouver clinic are at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Support for KXRW Vancouver comes from On Point Removal Services. On Point Removal Services is a Vancouver, Washington-based junk removal service that proudly serves all of the Clark County area and beyond. Offering residential, office, and construction junk removal, On Point will do all of the loading, pickup, hauling, and cleanup on your project. And On Point is fully licensed and insured. For more information, visit their website at onpoint-removal.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
This is Your Health Kit, practical hints and tips to improve your health and answer your medical questions, and might undo a few medical myths along the way. From KXRW and X-Ray FM, I'm Rebecca Hoffman, MD, your friendly neighborhood family doctor based in Vancouver, Washington. In today's talk, we'll take a look at our immune system and vaccines. Our bodies are amazing and work really hard to keep us alive. For one thing, our bodies are always on the lookout for invaders and threats to our health, whether from the food we eat, hazards in our environment, or germs. We have organs that protect us, like skin, lungs, our gut, even saliva. But when we think of our body's greatest protector, most of us think of the immune system. The immune system consists of several organs and components in our blood. Some blood cells actually digest intruders. Other cells are triggered to make weapons. The intruder is called an antigen. An antigen can be a virus, bacteria, chemicals, or other outside substances that get past the first line of defense, like our skin or gut, and gets inside the body. The immune system constantly filters blood and body fluids through lymph nodes. When an antigen appears in a lymph node, the system kicks in, and by using antigen features, it makes new cells that find other antigens in order to disable or destroy them. Those cells are antibodies. This process is ongoing. While this happens, you may have symptoms like a tender or swollen lymph node or a fever. These are signs that your immune system is working. As the new antibodies defeat the antigens, you'll start to feel better. And now you have antibodies ready to fight future infections by that antigen. Clever. Also clever is how scientists have discovered ways to follow the pathways of the immune system to make antibodies without making us sick. Vaccines. A little history. The first vaccine was created by Dr. Edward Jenner 200 years ago against smallpox. The smallpox virus had caused devastating epidemics over thousands of years. By injecting a patient with a similar virus, cowpox, he demonstrated the patient was now immune to smallpox. This story ends with the successful eradication of smallpox through global vaccination. Vaccines have come a long way. Some still use live virus, but are safer now because the virus is inactivated, producing antibodies without illness. Some vaccines are synthesized. Some target reducing dangerous symptoms and not the infection itself. Others use the viral genetic code to instruct the lymph nodes to make antibodies rather than injecting parts of the antigen at all. Because of the differences, some vaccines need boosters to get a full antibody response. Other illnesses mutate so rapidly, an annual shot is needed. The good news is that vaccines remain one of the safest ways we have to prevent disease. In the U.S., the FDA and CDC team to monitor vaccine production and safety. The World Health Organization notes upwards of 5 million lives are saved annually because of vaccines to more than 20 life-threatening diseases. Whatever your source of antibodies, their effectiveness can wane with time. So what else can you do to keep your immune system healthy? Nutrition plays a key role. A healthy diet with the micronutrients found in colorful vegetables and fruits grown in healthy soil is the best boost for your immune system. Other tips? Get enough sleep. Exercise regularly. Wash hands frequently. Stop smoking. Drink alcohol in moderation if you drink at all. Sound familiar? A healthy lifestyle benefits every part of our bodies, including our immune system. Vaccines save lives, but any intervention has risks. Deciding for vaccination involves personal and community choices. This is where a discussion with your doctor comes in handy. That's your Health Kit tip for today. Your immune system works hard to keep you healthy. You support it through healthy lifestyle choices, and if you choose, vaccination. Remember, if you have questions about your health, check with your doctor, not a computer search engine. After all, your doctor cares about you and your health. From KXRW and X-Ray FM, I'm Dr. Hoffman. See you next time.
The Colombian calls singer-songwriter Al Perez a soulful performer masterfully woven, whether he's on his acoustic guitar solo or backed by his five-member live band. Al Perez has thrilled local and abroad audiences for over two decades with his unique blend of light rock, R&B, fan-favorite covers, and a touch of Latin flavor. To book Al Perez or hear his latest Warrior Records release, Love Revolution, go to warriorrecords.com/Al-Perez. That's warriorrecords.com/Al-Perez.
Get it right. See?